The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers and close more deals, reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data, it's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads, D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers, market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. You find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours.
When you partner with Axon, you immediately gain access to a full range of products and solutions designed to meet the complex needs of today's grower. We carry all major brands and sizes of tires and wheels. We specialize in large diameter wheels for large equipment. We have one of the largest OEM replacement wheel inventories in North America. Known for extreme flotation setups, duals, and triples, we have wheels for all makes and models of tractors, sprayers, combines, and grain carts. If we don't have the wheel in stock, we'll custom build, sandblast, and paint in-house. There isn't a more vast inventory in North America dedicated to helping dealers move more iron. With facilities on the West Coast and in the heart of the Midwest, leverage our 230,000 square feet of indoor inventory to solve any problem a grower may have. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. You'll find us here, Moving Iron.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast. I have got Alan Hoskins with me from American Farm Mortgage. And I would tell your title, Alan, but for whatever reason, even though it's written on this piece of paper in front of me, I would butcher it to death. So I'll let you go ahead and tell people what you do for American Farm Mortgage.
Sure, Casey. My title is President and National Sales Director.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I can't get those words to come out of my mouth at the same time whenever you're on here, Alan. So appreciate you coming on, man, talking about what's going on in the world of ag finance, man. So, well, let's just start this way. So here we are, it's February. What is today's day? February 12th, and we are kind of working our way through the renewal season, all those kind of things, and we're continuing to see some struggles in certain sectors of the commodity marketplace when you're looking at what's going on with different crop prices and those kind of things. You talk about this a lot when you're on here, Alan. Mm-hmm. You talk about marketing plans and understanding mm-hmm. those marketing plans, knowing where your break evens are and those kind of things. So, I guess as you take a look, what's going on around you, Alan? What are some of the things that are coming to the front of your mind here when you start looking at how are you planning for 24 and, you know, when you're talking to your customers?
Well, first and foremost, Casey, you talked about where we've seen commodity markets move. Corn market right now, if you look at least in our area and what's available, the corn market particularly is presenting some challenges for 2024 relative to potential profitability. Bean market's tightened up as well, but the corn market, I would tell you, is a little more of the focus. And that does, as you talked about, accentuate the need to really understand those break-even points. Because historically speaking, I don't know that we've ever gone a year where there wasn't at least one potential profit-selling opportunity. But just making sure that those marketing plans are fine-tuned, discussions are held with the merchandisers that they're working with, crop insurance agents, bankers, trusted advisors, whoever that might be. Just making sure that there's a plan in place to take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves and not have it be a feel type thing of enacting sales, but rather a data-based decision of when to put sales on the books. And as part of doing that also, should the market move in a favorable direction, looking at how to maximize the profit opportunity that could present itself after that. So the short answer to your question, corn market's presenting more challenges than the beans, but certainly both of them are stressed right now.
Yep, for sure. All right, so when you're looking at from a long-term marketing kind of plan and those kind of things, what kind of advice are you throwing out there to folks as you're looking at? I mean, we've talked about this a million times on here. I've talked about it with you. I've talked about it with Chip. I've talked about it with Sean. You know, there's one time a year, maybe two if you're lucky, where there's an opportunity to sell at a profitable level. And talk about positioning yourself for that, Alan. I mean, what's some of the advice that you've given your customers about that in the past?
Well, again, I think it goes back, Casey, to do the best you possibly can to remove emotion, first and foremost, because feelings, a good portion of the time, do not make good business partners.
Right.
And making sure that there is some type of mechanism in place that I won't say it should be automatic, but it should be right up to the line of automatic, that if you're comfortable with a sale at a certain point, making sure that there's a mechanism in place, because producers are extremely busy, and it doesn't matter what time of the year, they're typically going in many, many different directions at once. And having to monitor the market each day throughout the day in order to get that desirable sales position in place is probably not the best management of their time, because they're going to be focused in other areas. So I think, Casey, it does go back to get that plan, get it developed, but also understand that that plan is not set in stone. The plan does need to be dynamic. It's going to need to change throughout the year. So I think that's the other component of a good marketing plan, is making sure that it is dynamic enough that it can be modified depending upon a couple of different scenarios of what they think the market might do. And Casey, there's some great merchandisers out there that work well with producers. One of the things I would tell a producer to be cautious of, if you're working with a merchandiser and the merchandiser doesn't know your cost of production, ask yourself how a merchandiser can guide you in creating a profitable sales opportunity if they don't know your costs.
Yeah. Makes it tough.
It does. Yes. Yeah.
Makes it pretty tough. All right. So I got to say this. I got to throw this little plug in here real quick. Moving Iron's official data partner is Fusible, the home of Iron Solutions and EDA Data. Ignite your dealership's growth at Fusible.com. So my one commercial for the podcast here. All right. Alan, so let's talk a little bit about the Fed. The Fed came out at the end of last month, right? So they came out and said, well, it came out in December and said, hey, you know what? We're going to have this. We're lowering the rates three times next year. At least that's what they made it sound like. A week or two after that, they came out and said, if it looks right. You know, well, they kind of left that part out of their first statement and kind of adds a few things to it. The January came out. And nobody was expecting to see anything in January. I don't think anybody thought that was going to happen. Pretty much the same thing you happened, but the reaction to the marketplace on both sides of the ball, whether you're talking Wall Street side, you're talking on the commodity side, I mean, you saw some pretty sharp down days immediately after that when it came out, which, you know, real surprise, right? But that being said, I guess as you're looking at things right now, how did you interpret what Jerome Powell said, and what was your feeling after that report came out?
Well, I can't say that I was terribly shocked when they kind of did what they said they were going to do, that there wasn't probably going to be any movement, because at least with the most of the discussion I've heard, Casey, it's been more about what is anticipated rates are going to do throughout 2024, as opposed to within the first quarter of 2024.
Right.
My personal opinion is Jerome Powell's a pretty darn intelligent gentleman. And I would tend to think that lessons learned from the failure to move rates upward aren't going to necessarily be repeated as we continue to move forward. I hope there have been some lessons learned that will allow the Fed to make good decisions in a more timely manner. Now, I can't say for sure what's going to happen because I don't know. I think the other thing that we take into consideration, and I've not gone back and done any historic statistical analysis on this, but this is an election year. So I don't know what, if any, impact that may have as we move forward. I think producers, as they sit here today, we're aware, obviously, of current interest rates. Most producers, absent an unanticipated opportunity for perhaps purchasing a farm or just an equipment deal that they didn't believe might come to fruition, most producers, I think, Casey, can do a pretty good job projecting borrowing needs for the balance of the 2024 crop year. They know, in all likelihood, where their operating needs are going to be. And they can work with their lender, with their accountant, whoever their trusted advisor is from a financial perspective, in being able to model out what their profitability looks like based upon current interest rates. And they can also do some rate shocks, looking at both the downside and, candidly, on the upside, too. I'm not saying rates are going up, but I think it's wise to at least look at both sides of the equation.
Sure.
From that standpoint, then, just as a marketing plan is dynamic, I believe they have a plan as to how they would handle interest rates lowering. If they have good relationships with their lenders, asking the lender, how do you see working with me changing if we have a 25, 50, or 75 basis point reduction in interest rate? Learning the lender's thoughts, having conversations about what the borrower would like to see, and making sure that there's a plan of understanding at a minimum of how both might work together to accomplish the goals, because obviously, the producer is wanting to minimize expense, and the lender, whoever that might be, is in a position where they want to retain a customer relationship. They want to retain it at a profitable level. But certainly, you look for opportunities to partner together on how to accomplish the goals that are meaningful to both. So I think this is a really good time of year to have those discussions so that in June or July, August, if we see those rate reductions that have been spoken of, there's already a plan of attack or a plan of non-action, if that's what's agreed upon, in place so that folks aren't surprised.
Right. Well, I think that's the thing about this year. Is that there's a lot of variables out there that you can't quite put your finger on as to what is good and what's not good and what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. And kind of having that plan that goes both ways seems like it's a very good plan to have, I guess, for lack of a better term. When you're looking at the various signals out there, I mean, it takes one crazy thing to happen in the Middle East right now with all the stuff going on there. Wouldn't we have to be too crazy that all of a sudden the price of oil now jumps up, you know, diesel goes up $1.50 a gallon type of thing, you know, and you start looking at that from that perspective, you know, if we have the active hurricane season that Sean Hack is talking about in the Gulf, that changes some stuff too, where you start looking at natural gas, you start looking at, you know, the refineries along the coast and what those look like. So all of a sudden now you've got some pretty big situations out there that do need to have some attention, at least pointed to anyway, that'll kind of put you in the scenario that you need to be in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, this discussion in and of itself highlights a point, and I've used the term trusted advisors a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Producers with the complexity of most operations today, and you look at the risk that they're managing, that trusted advisor base needs to, in my opinion, have broadened over what it was a few years ago. You mentioned a couple of the folks that you have on here on a regular basis, being Sean Hackett and Chip Nellinger. You know, I think making sure that folks do take the opportunity to listen to what I believe are very knowledgeable people in their fields,
yeah,
and making sure, you know, you perform a great service with this podcast. And I think that if, as they learn, because there's times that it's easy to not identify the risks that are out there or to maybe overlook some of them. But I think broadening that base of trusted advisors to ensure that they're looking at all the risk components that they actually deal with. Because I think producers sometimes are a little too humble in looking at their operation as being the multifaceted business that it is. And I think just making sure that they have those folks that can give them thoughts and ideas, not tell them what to do, but give them thoughts and ideas on things that they might consider and work with them to develop strategies to help mitigate some of the risks. I think that's one of the best areas of one of the best opportunities for improvement that most producers have.
Yeah, right on. Okay. So as you take a look at... Let's talk. This is something I've been thinking about for a while, and I'd love your opinion on this. So as we're looking at coming out of 2020 through 2023, looking at 24, a lot of stuff got updated. You might not have got it when you ordered it, but it finally eventually got to you, right? You can just take a look by the amount of used equipment out there right now and what that is. So plenty of equipment has gotten delivered. As you're looking at the scenario, it all feels an awful lot like the scenario of what we saw happen in 2013-ish, where not necessarily the collapse of the marketplace or anything like that, but you know what? I've pretty much updated my entire farm over the last 5 years. I don't feel like I need to have the conversation to update my farm anytime soon. Obviously, the annual roll guys are going to be doing what they're doing, but when you're looking at the traditional buying cycle guys that are every X number of years, I do, you know, X type of thing. Really feels like that they're, I don't want to say no one's pulling back the reins by any means, but they are taking a hard look at what they have, what the interest rates are, and those kind of things. So I guess looking out there with your crystal ball on, looking at the marketplace, how do you, what the conversation that you're having, are you feeling like guys are saying like, you know what, I'm good for a while on my equipment? Or do you feel like there's guys out there saying like, you know, I'm looking for a deal right now. If there's something that pops up, I'm going to move on it. What are you seeing out there?
First and foremost, someone that maybe hasn't updated something over the past 18 to 24 months, sticker shock is the first term that comes to mind.
That's the nicest way to put it out.
Yes. That's the one consistent thing. And Casey, I hear that on folks that are looking at new. I hear folks that are looking at used.
Right.
And I can think of one particular individual that I know that they trade a fair amount of equipment, and they've done it for years and years. And even that individual that I had a conversation with here about 2 or 3 weeks ago, even he talked about, wow, the costs have really risen exponentially.
Yeah.
So what I'm kind of hearing across the board is twofold. Number one, I'm hearing a little bit of trepidation in someone that hasn't updated, say, a combine in 2 or 3 years. And the question is, how do I justify the commitment I'm looking at?
Right.
Either from a new perspective or a 1-2-year-old piece of equipment. So the numbers just in and of themselves are causing some people to take a little bit of a pause that might ordinarily have already pulled a trigger. And they're doing the right thing, and they're not just looking at 24, but they're looking at 24, 25, and 26 and making sure cash flow looks realistic going forward.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'm hearing, Casey, you and I have talked about this before, looking at what type of upgrades may be available that make keeping the existing unit a little longer, yeah, more cost effective.
Right.
So I think one of the things the rapid rise in costs has contributed to that's very positive is I think it is, I won't say forcing people, but I think it's teaching people to stop and do a better evaluation than maybe historically has been done in, is this a good utilization of my capital before they pull the trigger? So I agree with what you said earlier and some of the traveling that I've done, Casey, just driving different places. I've seen a fair amount of used equipment sitting on lots. The other thing I'll say is this. This past weekend, my wife and I took a little trip and came back, and driving by different dealers, I saw an awful lot of new equipment sitting on lots yet to be delivered. And right, I'm guessing there's used equipment coming in to replace that new.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I've seen that in a couple of years.
Yeah. Not very often do you have something new go out where there's not a used piece coming in behind it. So it's pretty safe to say that it's typically a 1-for-1 transaction. So you've got plenty of stuff coming in. So that, I guess that kind of leads me back into this next question is, I've had the conversation a couple times now with folks where we're looking at, hey, here's what we're doing, here's what kind of things we're looking at, and I've said, hey, you know, if you can sell a piece of equipment now and you want to, and you don't need it, and you want to replace that piece of equipment, by all means, if you can sell it right now, sell it, and wait and see this fall, because there could be some, you know, you're starting to see the look and feel, especially on these row crop tractor side of the marketplace, that there could be some opportunities that are coming here. I would start saying, you know, 6 months in the year, you know, June, July timeframe, where you could start seeing some real significant movements in the amount of equipment that is popping up on some of these auctions. I mean, you're still seeing a steady supply come across on the online side of it, but I'm talking about the 1-day event type stuff where you've got, you know, several bidders out there looking at one at a big lot of stuff, and there could be some great opportunities for buyers out there. I guess what's your thoughts on that, Alan? Do you think you're going to see some better opportunities, you know, obviously closer to the end of the year, and I mean, I guess as you're looking at it from you know, where Section 179 plays into it and all that stuff, I guess
good thought at the very beginning of that question, in the respect that if producers have an opportunity to sell something that legitimately is not needed at this point, I do think looking at it right now probably is a really good thing to consider. Granted, you're going to have some tax consequences if you sell that item outright, but candidly, because of some of the tax laws changes a few years ago, you have some things associated with trades that we didn't used to have. So that's been mitigated somewhat. I think, right, to me, one of the fundamental differences that I see in the market is that if you look at the proliferation of online auctions today, and you go back pre-COVID, we basically had, for the most part, auction seasons. We had combine season. And
yeah, we did.
When everything was pretty much in person, there might be times where you wanted to acquire a piece of equipment, you might struggle to find something. One of the things I think is fundamentally different today than we've seen historically is there are multiple online auction outlets that I think are available on a more continuous basis today. So that if someone does need to replace an item that they've sold, I think that is something that wasn't historically true in the marketplace. Now, I've not talked to any experts other than the one I'm talking to right now that might be able to refute that or agree with it. But I do think, Casey, from my perspective, that's a fundamental change in what we've historically seen in agriculture. I would tend to agree with you completely in the respect that if we continue to see interest rates reside where they are and we continue to see the challenges that may present themselves from a profitability perspective with where commodity prices are and what we've talked about on the equipment side, the dealers' lots having a little more opportunity to purchase things because of higher inventory levels, it would seem logical that as we get toward the end of the year, barring anything to the contrary, as far as changes in trade policy that might affect commodity prices, it would seem there probably are going to be some pretty good buying opportunities. But I do think one of the things, again, going back to my comment, historically I've heard producers say, I'm a little reluctant to sell that tractor this spring because what do I do if I need one? And I think the change in the online auction may have addressed that issue somewhat and should make potentially producers a little more comfortable if they get an offer that they think is meaningful, maybe go ahead and look at that a little harder than they would have otherwise.
Yep. Now I think there's something to that. The online auction stuff that we see now comparatively to what we've seen in the past is that it used to have an auction every so often, right? There wasn't that. Yeah. There's an auction every week. You can just jump on and four or five different places and see what the auction stuff is out. And there's plenty of it to pick from. So yeah, if you can do something, I mean, and you can wait till fall to buy it, I think there's some opportunities. Now, all that being said, if it's a good time to buy, it's not a good time to sell. So you need, you got to make sure that you're timing that correctly with what you're doing and kind of go in eyes wide open with what values are going into this, because, the conversations that I have with folks, and again, granted, this is what I do for a living, so it's my viewpoint's a little bit different, but you know, the not being educated on what your machine is and what it's worth before you start having that conversation is such so imperative to understand what that looks like. And there's so many tools out there that you can use to get that information. You know, there's really no excuse not to know what that machine's worth. And you know, you can always, shameless plug here, you can always reach out to me and I'm happy to help you figure out what I think it's worth, and then, you know, take it for what it's worth when you talk to me, but I'd be happy to help you figure that out. But I think there's plenty of opportunity on both sides of the fence right now where you're at. And I think some of that's going to start to deteriorate more towards the end of the year going into 25.
Casey, the one caveat that I will put into what I just said, I think there's a segment of the marketplace, and perhaps that segment of the marketplace is that, and I'm going to pick on tractors for a moment, that 15 to 25-year-old tractor that's extremely low-hour, no def, and is kind of the bulletproof tractor that's been out there for years. that market, I think, is going, I think it's still extremely strong, and I think that market's going to continue to stay extremely strong. So the one caveat I'll say about what I did remark, those tractors aren't always going to be out there and be plentiful. So if that's the market the person's looking in, they've got to approach that a little bit differently than if you're looking for a 1 or 2 year old tractor that's maybe a 250 to 350 hour tractor.
Sure. Yep. Yeah, that, you start looking at something that's like, I would say pre 2012, right? That's probably pretty safe way to put it. If it's pre def, it's, I can't even remember what they called it, interim tier 4 engines or whatever it was that they call those. Those engines are a game changer when you start looking at value, right? Those pre-def engines, and you see, I had a guy hit me up the other day, and I can't remember, it was like a 7820, if I remember right. And it had 4,000 or 5,000 hours on it. And it'd been so long since I looked at one of those, I'd had to go back and research and do whatever. They were still selling those things for 85 to 1,000, $100,000 out there. And I could not believe that. I mean, that machine brand new didn't cost, I think it cost about $80,000 brand new when it came out. So that's just kind of a, you know, the joke always was when I started this business, you know, the 40-20 and the 40-40 and those kind of things were all, if you still had one when you bought it new, you used it for free the whole time because you're going to sell it for as much as you bought it for when it was brand new. Now we're starting to see that in some of these pre-def tractors with a fair amount of engine hours on them. They're starting to have the same level of value applied to them.
And Casey, you look at, you know, like some of the 55 series, the 4455, even into some of the 60 series, you look at where some of those tractors have been selling recently. There's been some sales on some reasonably low-houred ones of those that you're well over what original sales price was on those. But again, I'm not sure how surprised we should be at that, given what new ones have done.
No, sure. It's all a direct correlation to it. All direct correlation to new. So every time. All right. Well, that's probably a good place to stop. If folks want to reach out to you and get more information about what it is you're doing,
you can reach out to me, Casey. My email address is ahoskins@americanfarmmortgage.com. And they can reach me. My cell phone number is 618-926-0463. Always welcome phone calls. I'm glad to have conversations with folks.
Right on. Well, and I always look forward to this when we have a chance to talk, and I look forward to seeing you. Enjoy your time at the National Farm Machinery Show down there in Louisville. I know you look forward to that every year, so have a good time down there. And if you see anything wild and crazy,
absolutely. And I would welcome folks. We've got the American Farm Mortgage booth. It's down there, and would welcome them to come by and visit.
Right on. Do you know where that's at?
It is in the West Wing.
Number you're in? The West Wing. All right. Right next to the president.
Something like that,
right?
Yes. Or excuse me, Casey. I misspoke. I told you it was in the West Wing. It's in the East Wing. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, the East Wing. Yeah. Okay. Other side building. So that'll work. Well, Casey, I appreciate you being on, man.
And thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I'm Casey Seymour with Moving Iron Podcast. Check me out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. Go to LinkedIn at Moving Iron Podcast. And you can check also there at the same handle on TikTok and Snapchat. Go to the YouTube channel, which is Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel. You can check it out there. The video version of this, go to MovingIronLLC.com for everything Moving Iron related. And you can hit me up at 308-225-3305 if you got any questions about anything that you have going on there. I'd be happy to talk to you about that. Or you can send me an email at MovingIronPodcast@MovingIronPodcast.com, and I'll make sure to get back to you on that as soon as I can. So with that, I'm Casey Seymour with Alan Hoskins. Let's go be smart, folks. The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers and close more deals, reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data. It's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com
movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads, D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers, market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. You find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours. This podcast is proudly provided by Axon, helping dealers move more iron for the past 100 years. Find out more at axontire.com. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century.